My first time in English on the screen. So I have imagined Prince Philip and the Queen at their last meal. Darling, thank you. Thank you for your fidelity. 73 years of marriage. We have been through a lot. Wars, numerous ministers, trials, family issues, sadness, joy, 4 children, victories, losses, sorrows. But you believe, and so do I. I will see you again. I will always be there with our memories in you to remember. I will be waiting for you. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for your love. For being my partner for so long and so preciously present. I love you. Now, imagine it's your last supper, your last dinner with those you love. What are you thinking? What would you say? Do you feel a need of forgiveness? Any regrets? Remorse? Thing you should have done, or at least done differently? As you look into one another's eyes, what comes in your mind? But as well, you know, of course, encouragements you want to give. Overwhelming sense of love and thankfulness. Gratitude. Tell the people how you really feel. And I know you, I suppose you know Claire Foy. Claire Foy, you know the actress, she's a genius, she's phenomenal, she's very good. And she was thrilled because after the two first series of The Crown, she wanted to meet the Queen, and the real Queen. And the Queen was just, you know, normal, didn't acknowledge her performance, expecting her to comment on her portrayal in The Crown. But she didn't. She hadn't watched it. And Claire Foy was disappointed. But actually, when you think about it, why should the Queen watch The Crown? Claire Foy acted dramatic version of her life, but the Queen has lived the real version of that life. Her ups and downs. It's a bit like Peter. Peter with Jesus in John. Trying to follow and trying to be like Jesus without understanding the reality of the role. Jesus is the one with the title. The only one who knows what it really is to be the Son of God. In all its sufferings and glories. Peter doesn't understand. Yeah, you know, don't wash my feet, you know. And Jesus says, okay, you have no part with me then. Okay, clean the whole thing. My head, my hands. And Peter, you had a bath. It's just about all the feet. Nothing else. But later you will understand why I do that, says Jesus. I know that through Lent, you've been looking at these chapters 14 to 16. And so today the talk is a bit of an overview of Jesus' last words at his last meal. The outline is simple. He came down. No, he's going back home. The way all humans do, actually, We come and we go. And when we children, the questions of life and death are far away beyond our imagination. Life seems to go on forever. What? People die? I'm going to die? Daddy, you're going to die? One day. And as we approach the deadline day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, reality hits. And something takes place in our mind like never before. As time goes by, we realize how much shorter life is. As we love to celebrate birthdays when we are younger, it is quite different once we reach a certain age. We come to realize our fate. Not good to get older. The joints are squeaking. The pain in our body, illness, sorrows, losses, and bereavement. And when we have a meal with our loved ones, at weddings, parties, we all of a sudden see things differently. One day I will leave these precious people that have become so endeared. Gosh, it hurts. And so here, from John 13 till chapter 17, we have a last meal. The last hour of Jesus has come. More or less 20% of John's gospel focuses on that last meal. And it is about Jesus taking care of his disciples. I won't leave you on your own. Don't worry. With close friends at dinner party with people who have become so endeared, Jesus looks into the eyes of his friends, one by one. Removing his outer garment, he washes their feet. You can't have a meal with dirty feet. It's weird for us today. You were not on a chair back then, but laid down. Feet were close to one another, a bit close to your head, perhaps. And so Jesus, for his last hour, chapter 13, verse 1, start to exhort, explain, encourage, starts to warn them as well, console, teaches, reminds them, prepares them, nourishes them, gives and passes the baton to his disciples, his friends, whom he loves. He heals his people. My friends, my dear children, I am passing over to the Father's house, to the other side. So I'm passing the baton to you. You see, Jesus was not leaving the disciples. He went to the Father to exchange one way of being with them to another. As only then could he come back in the Holy Spirit. Leaving in order to come back was an act of his love, the act. The presence of the Holy Spirit in each of them, of us, means that love, the act of love. Now that the baton is taken, the race carries on. So what does that imply? By dwelling in Christ, in his word, as we know from chapter 15, he is the vine. We are the branches. We have to bear fruit. But what fruit? What does that mean? The fruit is to be a servant, to be pruned, united, to be at peace, to be warned, to know Jesus and to have discernment, to feel that we are loved. Be authentic. The truth, I am the truth, and the truth frees you. to be alive. Yes, I give you not just life, I just give you life beyond death. Be convicted of sins as well. Therefore, be corrected. And then be sanctified. Be glorified. Be victorious. We are winners. If you are in me, if you abide in me, if you dwell in me, if you are attached to me, and if you are consecrated, then you will have this power within you, my love. You won't be condemned like in the world. You won't be judged. You will be loved, and you will love one another anywhere. Mind, the world is watching. You will face tribulations. You will experience misunderstanding, hatred, maybe rejection, persecution, and some even will face death. But let's not our heart be troubled. Jesus says, in the Holy Spirit, you have an advocate. How is this possible in the face of tribulation to shine? We have to abide in the light of the vine. Jesus gives hope, and hope beyond death. We are currently growing some tulips in our garden along our front steps, and we are pleased that they are gradually growing. But as the children pointed out, one of them has grown faster than the rest and is already coming into bloom. It's yellow. But why? Because it's the only one that is fully in the light of the sun. It is like an example to the others, saying, come on, you have to grow up too. The others are all blocked by the wall and don't have as much light. So they are slower and not yet as tall and strong. They are not yet flowering. It's the same with us as Christians. As Jesus says in John 15, we have to stay in the vine to grow. To be nourished as we abide in Christ and dwell in his light. This is the gift. As it says in the Greek, the parakletos. The parakletos, which is the spirit, yeah, the advocate, means literally the one who is to be to our benefit. Imagine that, the one who is to be to our benefit. So abiding in Christ is to our benefit. It is a secure place. In him, we will surely bear fruit. Once purified, once sanctified, in Christ we experience glory, peace, happiness, justice, better understanding of the world and ourselves, and the truth, and patience and perseverance to cope with injustice. As the word dwells in us, we become a benefit to those around us. Each of our strengths and weaknesses play a part in continuing the kingdom of God. This is what is given to us, the ability to love, the humility to serve, and the joy of peace. The gift to inspire others to want to know God. Justice, mercy, no judgment. There is a power inside, and this is for eternity. This power nourishes a life that is beyond death. What a hope! Jesus' resurrection, our resurrection, is there, coming for sure. Now think again. It is your last meal with those you love. What would you say? And to whom? Who are the people that you need to ask for forgiveness? Who do you need to forgive? What are the words that you want to say to you nearest to the dearest people so that you feel healed and feel free to go? Now is the Passover time. Now we can pass over into God's kingdom through the Spirit at all times, at peace. You know, the wonderful things is that because of the resurrection, we no longer need the Last Supper. We can pass over into God's kingdom all the time. This was Jesus' Last Supper with his friends, but we can bless those around us at any meal, or indeed at any times. I don't need to wait for a supper. I don't need to wait for my last day. I can experience the kingdom, this peace and that power every minute, because he is there living inside. And this is his goal. For us to experience his presence, whatever, despite the trials, despite the hurt, despite what you've done. Jesus showered love on his disciples. You know, lately at our church, we've been learning 1 Corinthians 13 by heart, including the children. It's the passage about love. Love is kind, love is patient, love is not jealous, love is not conceited, love doesn't boast. And last week, when we had a little row, Jude and I, the children started quoting it at us. So Matthew said, love is patient. So Jason, to carry on, love is kind. Then Anastasia, love is not jealous. And then Matteo, love is not constipated. With a big laugh, it's like, what does he mean? Love is not constipated. Ah, yes. You mean love is not conceited. Yeah, that's what I mean. But it spoke to us. Because in a way, it's right. Love, in a way, is not constipated. Love flows, love frees, love heals. So don't let your love being constipated. Let it flow like Jesus. As we said yes to Jesus, we believe he comes from God the Father. We believe he is God, therefore, I am able to experience his love continually, because he enables us to do so. He enables us to forgive, to ask for forgiveness. He enables us to bless people and to heal. This is the goal. I'm here on earth to heal, to be healed, and to bless each other, to love each other. I can pass over my sorrows, overcome my grief. I can pass over my bitterness. I can overcome my fears and my anger because Jesus did it on the cross for me. He is the example of love, of overcoming the horror of this world. Love, love, love. It's in all chapters. Chapter 13, even 12, 14, 15, 16, 17 doesn't stop talking about love, because that's all we need. This is my testimony. This is to my glory, that you may love one another so that the world will see the unity. He will be attracted by this love. I pray, I sanctify you all. I am accompanying you, and I will heal you. You know, that power doesn't mean that suddenly everything becomes easy. See Jesus on the cross. Because we live in a world of messy relationships. But it does mean we can go forward. Look what happened with Judas. Not every relationship is destined for peace, we know. Though, be encouraged. The work of the Spirit is with us in the battle. You know, I don't know much, but this I know. Jesus finishes with a big prayer, not just for his friends, but for all believers. And this is in my bedroom. And I have to say that when I look at him, when I look at that picture, I feel at peace. I feel like I can, through the prayer, experience something different. I can come back to the Garden of Eden. I can come back because I have that power. I have that time that God gives me. It doesn't cost a lot. Just a few words to him. Tell him my inner space. Tell him my struggles. Interceding for other people. Telling my pain. Sharing my struggles. Thanking him. Praising him. Glorifying him. Jesus says, to know me, to know the one who has sent me, is eternal life. So, the process of healing, as the power of death is swollen in his word, through his life. So his life within us, his eternal life within us, swallows the pain of death, the idea that we're going to pass away. And therefore, we can experience healing now. Healing of our soul. Not fully, but we can start to experience it. Then complete joy will comfort us. Healing will arrive. Jesus' resurrection is a work of art because it is life. We were not meant to die. Confer Genesis 2. And the resurrection of all of us that is to come is his masterpiece. And in the meantime, we can experience love, his Spirit in us, his work of art within us, to appreciate his love in us and therefore love for one another. I talked about Genesis 2. You know, there are two verbs in Genesis 2 about the garden. It's to keep and cultivate. Keep and cultivate, shamar and abad. Shamar, the garden. So it means keep the garden, keep an eye on the vine, keep an eye on the tree, keep an eye on your life, keep an eye on your heart. Yeah? Keep my word at your heart. And abad, it means to serve. Huh? It's the same spring, the same roots of the servant, the deacon in Greek, and you will cultivate, you will serve, you will cultivate his love. So the garden will grow. The tulips are numerous and the fruit will be abundant. Keep my word and I will keep you. You see the word keep here is the same word as shamar. When we are back to Jesus' word, we experience Genesis 2 before the fall. We experience something that is completely different. He says, the world has come later. You were there before the world, creation. So the world came after that, after you. You're meant to be before the world. Cultivate my word And you will grow as a disciple and as a united people, the church. It's important to remember we're not on our own because we have the Spirit, and therefore we are not on our own because we have each other. We can cultivate our relationship. We can learn to love and forgive and help each other. Be and remain united. I'm going to finish there. Love one another until your last breath. Isn't that fantastic? But the world is watching. So let's be the light of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.